Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, December 8th, is the second Sunday in Advent. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis calls for prayers for Eastern Ukraine. Violent demonstrations continue in Iraq. And the Holy Father heads to Piazza di Spagna in Rome to pay homage to Our Lady on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today: at the Angelus on Sunday morning, Pope Francis asked for prayers to accompany a meeting between the presidents of Ukraine, Russia, and France, as well as the Federal Chancellor of Germany. The meeting, known as the Normandy Format, is seeking solutions to the painful conflict that's been going on for years in eastern Ukraine. "I accompany the meeting in prayer, deep prayer, because peace is needed there," Pope Francis said. "And I invite you to do the same so that this initiative of political dialogue can contribute to bring forth fruits of peace and justice to that territory and to its people." Vatican News spoke with Archbishop Claudio Gujarati, the Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, about the importance of the Pope's words for the people of that country.
The words of the Pope we have heard at the Angelus, of course, is a source of big consolation for the local population, because what is going to happen tomorrow is capital for the future of this country and of the peace that everybody desires. So we are all very happy that the Holy Father raised his voice, which of course spreads all over the world, in order to support what the political initiative might imply. And also make people understand that not everything depends on the words of the politicians, but very much depends on the prayer and the obedience to the wish of God, because peace is a gift of God. And so people are now expecting very strongly these events and hope that peace will be established and war will finish, because we are all exhausted and many people are suffering in an incredible way because of this persisting state of war.
That was the Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, Archbishop Claudio Gujarati. He spoke with Vatican News on Sunday. Meanwhile, Ukraine's new president says he believes that the talks, which will begin in Paris on Monday, will help achieve a lasting ceasefire in the country's separatist conflict. Regional correspondent Stefan Boss has this report.
Volodymyr Zelensky, the former Ukrainian actor and comedian who recently became Ukraine's president, will face a difficult task when meeting his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin for peace talks on Monday. During their gathering in Paris, he will have to prove he has the political skills to help end more than 5 years of fighting in eastern Ukraine between government troops and Moscow-backed separatists. The conflict has killed more than 14,000 people, and the ceasefire has remained uncertain. Commentators have already warned that the political novice arrives at the table with the veteran Kremlin leader in what appears to be a less advantageous position. They say that Zelensky still hasn't had the White House meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump that he sought to bolster his stature on the world stage. And French President Emmanuel Macron, the host of the meeting, has made clear recently that he wants to re-establish normal relations with Russia after 5 years of sanctions imposed on Moscow over its actions in Ukraine. Despite the challenges, Ukraine still has support from the European Union, its biggest foreign donor, and German Chancellor Merkel has strongly supported sanctions on Russia. However, it remains uncertain whether Kiev will be able to re-establish control over eastern Ukraine, where Russian separatists have declared republics. The conflict broke out after elsewhere Russia annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula. But Ukraine's new president hasn't given up hope that the international summit will help achieve a lasting ceasefire in eastern Ukraine. He also wants to negotiate a quick deal to exchange all prisoners held by the warring parties. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Elsewhere in world news, Iraqi security sources say the death toll in ongoing protests has risen to 22, with more than 140 more people wounded. Nathan Morley has the latest.
According to reports, three police officers were among those killed in stabbings and shootings, mostly near Sinak Bridge, which connects the two halves of the city, which are separated by the Tigris River. Security authorities have so far made no arrests for the killings, but the Ministry of the Interior says it's closely monitoring the situation. On Thursday, just after supporters of Qatar-Ib Hezbollah, one of the most prominent Iran-backed PMF groups, briefly joined the protests in Baghdad's Tahrir Square, demonstrators say 15 people among the crowds were stabbed. Although slightly limited in scope since they began in Baghdad in early October, the protests, which quickly spread to other major cities in southern and central Iraqi provinces, have been ongoing despite the resignation of the Prime Minister Adil Abdul Mahdi. Last week, he said he had decided to step down as casualties from demonstrations rose to over 400 deaths and 17,000 wounded. Iraqi forces have denied being behind a large part of the deaths of demonstrators. Protesters have been calling for the expulsion of the political elite from power after years of rampant corruption, severe unemployment rates, and chronically poor public services. In a separate development, Operation Inherent Resolve spokesman Colonel Miles B. Kaggins has said that Iraqi forces must maintain constant pressure on the so-called Islamic State. Speaking at Erbil Airport on Sunday, Kaggins said the coalition is concerned about any sign of a so-called Islamic State resurgence. He discussed the Seventh Will of Victory operation, which is being led by Iraqi forces and is designed to defeat the terror group. Kaggins specifically mentioned progress made in the Saladin province, where a number of weapons stores have been found. The coalition is in the area to support both federal Iraqi and Kurdish forces. He concluded by saying that the coalition hopes for closer coordination with Iraqi security forces and the Peshmerga in mountain regions to squeeze out the Islamic State from the region. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The parents of a 14-year-old Christian girl, Huma Yunus, have asked Pope Francis and civil authorities to help after their daughter was kidnapped and forced to marry one of her kidnappers. The interest of the international community is crucial, says a lawyer who is following the case. Huma Yunus's parents are pursuing every avenue they can to help them secure the release of their daughter. Huma is just 14 years old and is likely to have fallen victim to the lucrative practice of trafficking in human beings, particularly women, by Chinese and Pakistani criminals. In the video in which Huma's parents ask for Pope Francis's solidarity, they also address the international community as a whole, as well as authorities in their own country, from the head of the government to the chief of the armed forces. The Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which celebrates the singular grace and privilege granted by God, by which the Mother of God was preserved free from all stain of original sin from the first moment of her conception, was the focus of Pope Francis' reflections at the Angelus on Sunday. This feast, he said, is found in Advent, a time of waiting and expectation. But in the case of Mary, he explained, God's will has already been accomplished, as Mary was preserved from the contamination of evil that is the common legacy of the human family. Turning to the Gospel, which recounts the story of the Annunciation, Pope Francis said that God thought of Mary and wanted her from the beginning. But, he said, in order to be full of grace, to be filled with God's love, it is necessary to listen to God's word and to trust fully in his will, as Mary did. Mary, the Pope said, does not lose herself in logical arguments. She does not place obstacles in the Lord's way. But she promptly entrusts herself and leaves room for the action of the Holy Spirit. Corresponding perfectly to God's plan for her, Mary becomes all beautiful, all holy, but without the slightest shadow of self-satisfaction. That is, she remains humble, small, poor. Pope Francis then emphasized the word with which Mary defines herself in her surrender to God. Mary's yes to God, the Pope said, assumes from the beginning the attitude of service, of attention to the needs of others, as seen in Mary's visit to Elizabeth. Openness to God is found in the openness to take on the needs of one's neighbor, he said. Moreover, he emphasized, this is done without noise or ostentation, because charity and works of mercy do not need to be exhibited as a trophy. Pope Francis concluded his reflection with the prayer that the Feast of the Immaculate Conception might help us to make our whole life a yes to God, a yes made of adoration of Him and of daily gestures of love and service. Also, after the Angelus, the Holy Father noted that in Guatemala, James Miller, a religious of the Brothers of Christian Schools, was beatified on Saturday. Miller was killed in hatred of the faith, in Odium Fide, in 1982 in the context of the Civil War. Pope Francis prayed, may the martyrdom of this exemplary educator of young people, who paid with his life for his service to the people and to the Guatemalan Church, strengthen in that dear nation paths of justice, peace, and solidarity. Finally, one of the highlights of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception here in Rome is the visit of the Pope to Piazza di Spagna, where he traditionally pays homage to our Blessed Mother before a statue that commemorates the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception in 1854. Sean Patrick Lovett tells us more.
The statue of Our Lady stands above a 12-meter-high ancient Roman column that dominates the bustling shopping area of Rome's historic center. It was placed there on September 8, 1857, and commemorates Pope Pius IX's proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, stating that Mary is the only human being who was born without original sin. The column and statue were originally erected with the help of 220 firemen, which is why the floral tributes always include a garland of flowers placed in Our Lady's arms by a member of Rome's fire department. The tradition of offering flowers to her image here on this feast day was begun by Pope Pius XII. During his Sunday Angelus address in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis announced he would be visiting Piazza di Spagna to perform what he called the traditional act of homage at the foot of the monument to the Immaculate Conception. He asked all those present to join him spiritually in this gesture, which, he said, expresses our filial devotion to our Heavenly Mother. When he arrived in Piazza di Spagna on Sunday afternoon, Pope Francis addressed his own prayer to Our Lady at the foot of the monument. He entrusted to her all those who think there's no longer hope for them, and that God does not have time to waste with them. The Pope thanked our Immaculate Mother for reminding us we are no longer slaves to sin, but free to love one another, to help one another as brothers and sisters, despite our differences.
And thank you to Sean Patrick Lovett for that report on the Pope's visit to the Piazza di Spagna, where he paid homage to our Blessed Mother on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. If you go to our Vatican News English YouTube page, you'll be able in a few minutes to watch the video of that event, along with Sean Patrick Lovett's English language commentary. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and on Twitter. Many thanks to our producers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.